AM, and we're just gonna come over to you guys with some new tech updates, some new tech news for you guys that are tech lovers, game lovers. You guys know all the whole shebang. Before we go ahead and move forward, why don't you guys go ahead and click the like and subscribe button below to our channel. It helps us with the YouTube algorithm. Also, it helps us know that we're doing a good job providing you with the most relevant tech news information and updates out there as well. All right, so we'll be taking news from our LinkedIn channel. We'll leave a link in the description. We'll leave links to our social media channels below in the description. Follow us on social media to get obviously daily and weekly tech updates and news, as well as deals as well. All right, you could also follow us on our website as well at electronicadditions.net. Again, that's electronicadditions.net. All right, so let's move forward here. Looking at our LinkedIn page right now. Looks like TikTok's sale to Oracle shelved by the Biden administration, which is very interesting, guys. So TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, may no longer be required to sell of its U.S. assets to Oracle, as the plan to require the social media network to divest its U.S. operations has been pushed back indefinitely by President Biden. So it looks like this is, you know, who knows, this could be good or bad news for TikTok. Honestly, big company, you know, corporation just like TikTok, right? Being it acquired by another company usually means obviously more cash infusion, you know, some other companies taking control. So maybe they don't really want that, and maybe Biden is helping the problem, or the Biden administration is hurting the problem. Let's see, and let's take a look at if this is going to be good news, right? Is this good news for TikTok? What does that mean? You know, what does that mean? So, the move comes as President Biden's administration is now in the process of reviewing the TikTok administration's effort, after reviewing the Trump administration's efforts to address the security risk posed to the U.S. by Chinese tech companies. Back in August of last year, former President Trump made the decision to ban TikTok due in the way in which the personal data of users, U.S. users, could be obtained by the Chinese government. However, the U.S. wasn't the first country to ban the app, as India banned TikTok back in June of 2020, citing similar security concerns surrounding the data and privacy of Indian users. Right? So while TikTok ban was never enforced in the U.S., ByteDance is still in a legal battle with the U.S. government, though many federal courts have tried to stop the U.S. Commerce Department from shutting down TikTok's operation in the U.S. Wow. So securing U.S. data. According to the new report from Wall Street Journal, ByteDance representatives and the U.S. national security officials have remained in talks regarding potential sale of TikTok's U.S. operations, even while Trump administration shifted its focus from security to the 2020 U.S. election. Spokesperson for the National Security Council, Emily Horn, explained in a statement to the Wall Street Journal that the U.S. is still reviewing the risks posed to its citizens' data by foreign apps, saying, "We plan to develop a comprehensive approach to securing U.S. data that addresses the full range of threats we face. This includes the risks posed by Chinese apps and other software that operate in the U.S. In the coming months, we expect to review specific cases in light." Sorry, guys. Looks like this is loading here. Second. In light of a comprehensive understanding of the risks we face, right? So at a recent press conference, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki reaffirmed Horn's statement when she told reporters that the Biden administration is in the process of reviewing all potential threats to U.S. data. However, she did not provide further details regarding a potential TikTok sale. For now, it seems that TikTok will be able to continue operating in the U.S., but the social network could face further scrutiny if discovered that the app does pose a risk to data of its users. Right, guys? So, I think we definitely talked about data usage with certain apps before in our previous episodes. If you guys haven't checked that out, definitely check that out, you know, on our channel for sure. But you know, this situation raises definitely some concerns. You know, we as, you know, US citizens hope that our data is not used for being used for anything malicious, right? Especially TikTok, this, you know, huge social media app, which has over a billion downloads, now closer to 2 billion downloads. We're hoping that they don't use our data for anything negative, or, you know, selling our data, you know, just for third party action or stuff like that, right? So, you know, I really hope that, you know, yeah, the Biden administration is combing through everything that needs to be combed through with this company. Even though, yes, I love TikTok personally. I love watching content videos on TikTok, and even posting on TikTok as well. So hopefully this all works out great. Honestly, if India sees that there were a problem with their users, hopefully the US doesn't see the same thing. India is definitely a very smart nation. They are not stupid. They do things for a reason, right? So if they banned the app for a reason, it has to be a reason. So hopefully the same thing does not happen over here in the US. So we shall see. All right. So moreover, we have, there is news, obviously, we reported this obviously last week as well too, but hacked Florida, there was a water plant that was hacked in Florida. So the hacked Florida water plant was still using Windows 7, right? So more details have emerged about the recent cyber attack on water treatment utility and the city Altmar, Florida, with the facility involved apparently still using outdated Windows 7 PCs, right? So, and the first things that came through my mind when I first read this headline, which was last week, guys, was like, man, how is a water plant hacked? Like, were the hackers really sophisticated? Did they hack in? But it looks like they were just using an outdated Windows 7. They use outdated Windows 7 on their PCs, which is obviously a very big way, a glaring way for hackers to get in a system, right? If you have updated systems, updated security, it's harder for hackers to get in the system. So that's why, you know, that's why we always love to come out with certain news like this for you, you know, presenting these to you guys, because they're real situations that happen in real everyday life. So hopefully you guys on the other side of the screen are updating your systems and software to make sure that you're not able to get hacked, right? You're less prone to get hacked and all your information is safe, right? So if they probably did the upgrade, you know, if the water plant just upgraded to Windows 10, it would have probably been much more harder for them to get hacked, right? So that's pretty much, you know, all there is to say about that, right? So if you want to read more into the information, go ahead, follow us on LinkedIn, click into the article, and you can read more about that. All right, so we got the world's second largest cryptocurrency edging towards landmark valuation amid Bitcoin frenzy. So we got Ethereum. It may not be as well known as Bitcoin, but Ethereum, which it is, has held a sterling start to 2021. Which is amazing. The world's second largest cryptocurrency by market value reached a record high of $1,824.59 earlier this week, so beating its previous peak of $1,761.35, guys. And this is amazing, guys. We have Ethereum, we have Bitcoin rising to new all-time highs. Literally, as we are speaking right now, Bitcoin is making all-time highs to 48,000, really going towards to 50,000, right? So now we have also Ethereum making all-time highs, passing its previous all-time highs in 2017, which was around 1,400. Now it's making its all-time highs a little bit past 1,800, and definitely more is to come on the way as well too. And it's great, guys, because not only the price is going up, it's great for traders, but it's also great for the ecosystem. Anybody using Ethereum knows that, or knows a little bit about Ethereum and the blockchain, knows that Ethereum is also always developing. There's always projects being developed on Ethereum, and so Ethereum has lots of interest and lots of projects just being built on top of it, and lots of things just being done, right? There's a lot of money being made on Ethereum, lots of projects are being made on Ethereum, and just to make things that are going to be easier for the average consumer like me and you can use, definitely very soon and in the future as well. All right, So moreover, we got Twitter can soon allow payments to your favorite accounts. This is amazing. So Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey has revealed that the social network is exploring ways of letting users receive digital payments from their followers. The addition, should it be implemented, would signal yet another free digital platform looking to provide financial incentives for its users. So very interesting, guys. So it looks like Twitter is, you know, could be allowing payments as well too. All right, so details are thin on the ground currently, but giving Twitter users with large followings the ability to receive tips in exchange for well-received content would change the platform's dynamic markedly, right? So there has been even a talk of introducing content subscriptions to help Twitter further diversify its income, with a social media site presumably taking a proportion of whatever payments users receive. I think the first thing we want to focus on is the economic incentive to people who are contributing to Twitter, Dorsey told the Goldman Sachs Technology and Internet Conference, which is currently taking place virtually as a result of COVID-19 pandemic. So the money matters. Although social media management tools can help businesses and individuals measure what types of content drive the best engagement, there is currently no easy way of generating financial benefit directly from a popular social media post. Given that Twitter has around 192 million daily users, and some tweets get shared millions of times, the platform's most popular users may feel that the time is right to monetize their content, and that is right. It's always a right time to do that. Very true. Of course, Twitter will have to be careful that introducing such monetization features does not change the way content users interact with the platform too much. If LinkedIn is the go-to app for business networking, Twitter is often seen as a place for throwaway comments and informal discussion, right? So adding financial incentives into this mix too forcefully could put some users off, which definitely makes sense, right? So still, revenue diversification is being explored by many social media platforms, especially with TikTok also looking to enter the e-commerce space, and Instagram recently revamping its business tools as well. Twitter has said, however, that it does not expect content subscription to make up a significant part of the company's revenue until next year. So it definitely is going to be over time that we'll start seeing Twitter probably roll out these payment option features, guys. So definitely just be aware of that. So it'd be pretty cool. So not only did be making money through, you know, Twitter ads, there's definitely Twitter ads out there, but definitely other options there as well. Hopefully, I also hope that Twitter also gets into cryptocurrency space, so they can allow certain cryptocurrencies to be exchanged within their platform. I feel like that would be a great thing that they can do, or even themselves even hold some cryptocurrencies in their you know, on their end, you know, for some of their users and stuff like that. I think it would be a smart decision for Twitter to do. But yeah, I mean, this definitely seems pretty cool for Twitter. Moreover, we got Microsoft Teams is getting a huge upgrade that could change how your business works. So a new business service plan is coming to Microsoft Teams in mid-March, according to reports. Teams Pro will add webinar and meeting intelligence functionality to the Teams platform, giving Microsoft the opportunity to target a sizable new market. So that should be pretty cool, guys. So it's looking like there's going to be a huge upgrade. And that looks really cool. Let's see what's more into this, right? So we got Microsoft Teams has already captured a large portion of the work from home market since the outbreak of COVID-19 pandemic, becoming as essential to remote work to as good as monitor or desk, right? So it's pretty good. However, competition is fierce between online collaboration platforms, and Microsoft knows that it must continually reinvent Teams to fight off the challenge posted by the likes of Zoom and Google Meet. That's what I was thinking too. Definitely Zoom has an audience. Lots of people use Zoom. Lots of people use Skype. Lots of people use Google Meet. So what's so great about Microsoft Teams? So as a result, the coming Teams Pro plan will be welcomed by users frustrated by the online meeting options currently offered by the platform. Although details are scarce, it is thought that the Teams Pro could include features like dynamic views in addition to webinar functionality. So that seems pretty cool, guys. Give me one second, guys. I just have an important call coming here. Hello? Yeah. I'm doing work right now. I'm literally in the middle of work right now. I did, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. Okay. All right, bye. All right, sorry about that, guys. Give me one second. Let me just make sure everything is working perfectly fine here. Just had some important emergency call there. All right. So that should, like I said, guys, before, that should be really, really cool for Microsoft Zoom. So the Pro plan, right? So there's currently no word on whether Teams Pro will be free or launch as paid, as a paid add-on. So the Microsoft Office Messenger, or the Message Center, notes that the Teams Pro will be made available to all users with M365 or O365, E3, E5, A3, A5, Business Standard and Business Basic license. But aside from that, there isn't much to go on. Interesting. So that should be pretty cool, guys. Honestly, Microsoft Teams, if you guys haven't checked it out, definitely check it out as well. You guys want to learn more information about this too, you can go follow us on LinkedIn, click into this link, into this article, and you guys can learn more about that as well. So moving forward, we have NASA is giving employees Fitbits to help slow the spread of COVID-19. But will it work, guys? So Fitbit and NASA looks like they're doing some deals together, right? So NASA's giving Fitbit Charge 4s to 1,000 of its employees to help reduce the risk of infectious disease spread in its space missions. If this pilot plan is successful, NASA may expand the scope of its program beyond mission critical teams to all staff. So that is pretty, pretty cool, guys. So it looks like, you know, Fitbit and NASA are definitely teaming up for sure, guys. And please, guys, don't worry about, you know, these notifications coming up. They're just coming from a Telegram group that I'm part of. So please, please forgive me there. All right, so Nintendo and Microsoft have teamed up to create a new Nintendo Switch service, but it's not what you might expect, guys. So let me say that again for you guys that haven't heard clearly. Nintendo and Microsoft have teamed up. So Nintendo Switch, 3DS, Game Boy, Microsoft, Xbox, Xbox One, Series X, have teamed up to create a new Nintendo Switch service, but it's not what you might expect, right? So that's pretty interesting, guys. So let's see what more information is about this. So the Nintendo Switch Concierge Service, as it's called, it's a free program that lets Switch users schedule one-on-one meetings with a Nintendo representative. So it's designed to help customers who have recently purchased a company system with any pressing questions that they might have, like how to set up their console. Some of the topics include Nintendo Switch one-on-ones and games getting started. Right, so customers can schedule a session via Nintendo Switch Concierge website, and video calls are facilitated via Microsoft Teams, right? So the app that we were just talking about before. So of course, you'll need to narrow down what you want to discuss. You won't be able to beg Nintendo for Switch ports here and arrange a suitable time, right? So your appointment will then be put into a chart, which you can see on the Nintendo Switch Concierge website. and attendees will receive an email with more information with more details at a later date. It appears that the service is only available in the US for now. So all the US guys, where you know we have this service for now. So there are some things to note. Session availability is limited to a first come, first serve basis. And only those who have recently purchased a Nintendo Switch are eligible. By participating, you also agree that Nintendo may collect video images of you, your voice, and your surroundings in order to interact with you with the requested service, which may worry these who value their privacy. So Fusion Frenzy, right? So Nintendo and Microsoft, but we never heard about this. Why is Microsoft helping Nintendo do this? Why couldn't Nintendo just do that by themselves? So Nintendo and Microsoft have grown rather friendly in recent years, with Minecraft one of its first games to support cross-play between Xbox One and Nintendo Switch players, and the previously Xbox-exclusive Ori and the Blind Forest, and Ori and the Will of the Wisps made their way to Nintendo's platform, right? So Microsoft owns characters like Banjo-Kazooie have also been included in Nintendo Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. Which, while this collaboration isn't quite exciting for gamers, it shows how important Microsoft's suite of technology can be outside of Xbox. Microsoft's Azure service, which power xCloud and the company's other online services, were adopted by Sony. The two companies announced a strategic partnership in May 2019, which involves PlayStation using Microsoft Azure data centers for cloud gaming and content streaming services. So very, very interesting, guys. So if you guys have a Switch and you guys have any questions, check out the Nintendo Switch Concierge service, and you know, you guys should be able to, they'll be able to answer your questions right then and there too. All right. We also have this new program, new application called MetaHuman, right? So MetaHuman is an application for designing characters that lets people mix and match presets that dive into the tiniest details. So it's a cloud hosted service. Since the amount of computing power and storage needed to render these characters at this solution and level of lighting, and so on is more than most people will have on hand. So let's check out this short little clip to see what it's all about.
I could be one of many.
주진공이던데 나를
Je pourrais être architecte
ou guide
quizá un artista
You create the narrative
I am MetaHuman
Amazing, very unique, right? Very unique, guys. MetaHuman. I just like even the video, the music. Sexy guys, honestly. Let's actually take a little bit of news from our Facebook page, guys. Our Facebook page, you can follow us at The Real EAD. Again, it's called The Real EAD. Our LinkedIn page is just straight up Electronic Editions. Okay, let's check out our page here. So it looks like how to watch Nadal versus Moho live stream Australian Open 2021 tennis from anywhere. So it looks like in the US, the Australian Open coverage comes courtesy of ESPN and the Tennis Channel, which also has rights to the tournament, but will only be showing it on linear TV. Both of these cable-based services, though, so in order to watch the Australian Open online, you'll need to be a paying customer or have a good over-the-top streaming service that gives you access to the same channels, right? So literally, you guys can go on ESPN to watch it if you're in the US, or you can go on the official Tennis Channel as well. Also, guys, if you click into this article and you're a different country, you can look up different streaming services that you guys, that'll be compatible with your country, okay? Moreover, guys, we got Gina Carano, if you guys have known, will no longer appear in Star Wars projects. So this could be a pretty downer for some of you guys that love Star Wars and Gina Carano. So Gina Carano won't appear in future Star Wars TV shows. It's been confirmed after the actress reportedly shared an offensive message on Instagram from another account that asked how the Holocaust is any different to hating someone for their political views. We won't reproduce the post here. The post has been deleted, but was screen grabbed and widely shared. That's honestly kind of crazy, right? So if you guys want to learn more about that too, about Gina Carano and Star Wars, you can go ahead, follow us on Facebook, click into the article and learn more. Moreover, we got Google Stadia will now come pre-installed on all new Chromebooks, which is pretty cool, guys. So Google has confirmed that its cloud gaming service, Google Stadia, will arrive pre-installed on all new Chromebook laptops. Very interesting, guys. So let's see here. It's worth noting that Stadia isn't pre-installed in the same way you'd expect to find a desktop app already downloaded when booting up your device for the first time. Rather, that a pre-installed Stadia icon in the app menu will act as a web shortcut to the main gaming page. The news comes as a recent tweet from the official made by Google account confirmed that Google Chromebooks will now come with Google Stadia already installed to allow users to start playing games without waiting for downloads or updates. So that seems pretty cool, guys. So you just be, you know, you automatically get a Google Chromebook, you get Stadia installed, you don't have to do any other work. So that's pretty cool, guys. This is a major move from Google, even given the doom and gloom that has surrounded the cloud gaming service in recent months, right? So they've stopped Google Stadia, making Google Stadia very recently too. The company has announced that it plans to shut down its internal development studio and divert all its resources to enticing third-party developers to launch games on the platform, which is definitely a smart move. So Google can do other things rather than build games. Google's really not a gaming platform or a company. They're really more for cloud service, search, and other types of things as well too. So very, very cool, very interesting to know for you guys that are planning on getting Chromebooks. All right. We also have Succession Season 3 has started filming, but a release date is harder to pin down. Succession, HBO's highly acclaimed drama series about the wealthy Roy family, has finally resumed filming on its third season following delays caused by a COVID-19 outbreak. Interesting. Very, very, very interesting. So let's see here. If you guys want to learn more about this information too, you can click into this article. Follow us on Facebook, click into this article, and you can learn more about this TV show. We have the first Sonos headphones could arrive soon with new product confirmed for March. Sonos is set to launch a new product in March, according to a conference call between CEO Patrick Spence and investors as well. So let's see here too. Second, guys, let's see, what does that mean for Sonos? Like, okay, so they could the first Sonos headphones could arrive, right? So how would they look like, right? Is it over the ear, is it in ear, what does it look like? Is there a video or not? So it looks like if we scroll down here, there's no video or anything, but we do have some information, Right. So in the call, which was translated by Seeking Alpha, Spence said that the company remains committed to launching at least 2 new products per year and that we are excited to introduce our newest product next month. What the new product will be remains to be seen, but with rumors of the first pair of Sonos headphones and a cheaper, smaller version of Sonos Move being banded out, we can't wait to find out. We've reached out to Sonos to see if we can find any more information on the products, but in the meantime, let's take a deep dive into the rumors, headphones, and wireless speakers. Right, so multi-room headphones. Rumors about a pair of Sonos headphones have been circling for a while now, first emerging in early 2019. So according to a report from Bloomberg, the headphones will likely have multiple virtual assistants that would function similarly to the company's Sonos Arc and Sonos One speakers, and would focus on competing with Sony, Apple, Bose, and Sennheiser by offering high-end audio performance. Bloomberg sources also suggest that Sonos could target a price point around $300, right? $200 Euro and $400 for the Aussie, cheaper than the Sony WH-1000XM4, but not by much. It would launch in 2020. Of course, they never materialized, so a March 2020 release date is feasible, especially if Sonos wants to compete with the recently launched AirPods, Apple AirPods Max over-ear headphones. Compounding these rumors is the fact that Sonos was awarded a patent fairly recently for a pair of over-ear headphones, giving us an intriguing glimpse at the long-rumored cans, as well as showing off two possible designs. The patent describes features like active noise cancellation, wireless connectivity, and built-in microphones for voice-controlled music playback. Most interestingly, the patent also describes how the first Sonos headphones would interact with other Sonos products, allowing them to seemingly integrate with existing multi-room audio setups. Interesting. Something that the likes of Sony, Sennheiser, and Bose cannot offer. So that seems pretty cool, guys. Another possibility is that the Sonos will launch a new wireless speaker, with rumors that the company is due to launch a companion to its portable Sonos Move smart speaker. The Sonos Move is currently the only product in the company's lineup that sports a Bluetooth connection and its built-in battery, giving you a cleverness of a built-in voice assistant with the convenience of a portable speaker. Interesting, guys. So an FCC filing spotted that by Verge described a device that uses a wireless charge base but requires less power than the company's Move speaker suggests a similar portable smart speaker that's even more compact. So it's already small, but it's going to be even more smaller, light, and compact. So the Sonos Move currently costs about $400, $400 Euro, $649 Aussie, a price that puts it firmly at the top end of the Bluetooth speaker market, but it earns the price tag with an array of Sonos smarts and its powerful audio. As such, there's certainly room in the market for a more compact version of this speaker that still offers the same smarts, but it packs them into a smaller, more affordable, and more lightweight package, right? So once again, this would put Sonos in a direct competition with Apple, which released the HomePod Mini in 2020. Though this smaller, cheaper version of the Apple HomePod smart speaker isn't portable. Right, so you see that its release, as well as the refreshed Echo Dot and Google Nest Audio, does suggest that there's a demand for more compact wireless speakers in the home, and Sonos could meet that demand in a matter of weeks. All right, so we'll definitely keep you guys updated on the like any videos of the product, or you know, any new information about that too. We'll definitely keep you guys updated as well. All right, so that is information about Sonos, which is amazing. And it looks like we got Samsung Galaxy the Tab S8 gets very early leak from Samsung's own website. So not anywhere else, guys. It's not any other leak. It's Samsung leaking this information. So if Samsung Galaxy Tab S8 follows the release schedule of its predecessor, it'll come out in August. You'd think then it's too early for leaks and rumors to come out about the tablet, but it seems that that's not the case, as Samsung itself has name dropped the device. Interesting. So as spotted by a Russian tech site, Android u.ro and a guide on Samsung's websites informing you as to which type of memory card your Samsung tablet supports. One of the slates listed Samsung Galaxy Tab S8 Enterprise Edition. Typically, Enterprise Edition of Samsung devices are similar to the standard versions, but come with added tools to optimize them for use by employees across businesses. Some features include the ability to schedule OS updates, 4 years of security updates, and the facility to remote control devices for purposes of updates. While the Samsung Galaxy S8 Enterprise Edition technically isn't the actual Galaxy Tab S8, it's likely to be identical in terms of specs, and of course there wouldn't be a Tab S8 Enterprise Edition if the Tab S8 wasn't also on the way, right? So does this listing tell us anything about the tablet? Well, yes, but not much. Apparently it will have a micro SD card slot allowing up to 1 terabyte expanded storage, right? That's the same as the last few tablets, right? So not a huge surprise, right? But the information is about all you can expect from a guide to tablet external storage. So when more Samsung Galaxy S8 comes in for, when more information comes out, we'll definitely let you guys know about that as well, okay?